And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well. Well, let's just go to the Lord before we do anything else today. Father God, we do worship you. Father, the worship team and the music just blessed me so much this morning. Father, we thank you. We know that your love is from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, your grace and your mercy just does fall down on us like rain. And we receive that this morning, Father. We receive that just falling down on us. Let us just still ourselves. And allow the grace and mercy of God just to fall down upon us today. Oh, Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and the glory forever and ever and ever. And we just ask that you be with this message today, Lord, and be with me as I present it, Lord. Just to minister to the hearts of your people and just to let it be like warm healing oil coming over them. So we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 46:10, and we're going to just be looking at the first part of it, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I felt like I was really supposed to share this message today because I know that, you know, just in this church alone, there are so many people in the past few months or, you know, years or whatever that are really going through some tough times. And I know, as Leslie said, you know, the last year and a half or year, 14 months, whatever, has been really tough for Bill and I. But I know that from experience alone that, you know, when you're going through these times of trials and when you're facing the fire or you feel like you're in the fire, you know, that's the time when you really want to know God. That's the time when you really want to hear his voice and you want to know him personally and you want to know him intimately, that he is your father, that he's there for you, that he's working for you, that he's got your back all the time. John 10:27 says, "My sheep shall hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." It said, his sheep. He says, my sheep. Say, I'm a sheep. You didn't really have to do that, but it's always fun to see if a sheep will follow. Right, Mary? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he says, my sheep, that's us, will hear his voice. And that says two things to me. That says, number one, that God is still speaking to his people. And it says, number two, that we, his people, the sheep, can still hear him. So it's imperative that we know not about God, because a lot of people know about God. Do you know that? You know, there's a lot of books written out there about God by authors who know nothing of God, who don't know him, don't have a personal relationship with him. So, you know, it's imperative that we don't know about God, but that we know God. And that we know how to hear his voice, because I'll tell you what, if there's ever a time that we needed his direction and his guidance, it's in these perilous times that we live in. And how many of you know that although God is the voice, he's not the only voice out there? Amen? I read an article recently, and I was kind of interested in this because it says that we have, most of us, have upwards of 50,000 thoughts a day. And I thought, well, whoop-de-doo, because I have that many just trying to get to sleep at night. I mean, seriously, you know, I told Bill, I said, he is the luckiest man in the world. He's so blessed and fortunate because that man's head can hit the pillow, and he's like, he gone. You know, my head hits the pillow, and it's like, that's when my brain revs up, you know, 0 to 60 in 10 seconds. And so it takes me a long time to get to sleep at night. But, you know, that article said 50,000 thoughts, and I thought, that's crazy. But the thoughts that I have are not bad thoughts. You know, I'm laying there and it's not like bad thoughts coming into my mind. It's just random thoughts. Just and you, if you just lay there, and you know, the other morning, I got to sleep 4 o'clock in the morning. Went to bed at 10. I know, it's nuts. And I lay there and I'm thinking all these random thoughts, and then I got interested in the thoughts. You know, it's like, you know, these are, I just want to think about the thoughts. And so all these thoughts are coming at me, and I'm just sort of thinking, oh, well, that's a strange thought. And then before I think that thought out, another thought comes zooming in, and it's just like, what? You know, it's like, I did not know. Once you focus on your thoughts, you don't know how many thoughts you have. But once you start focusing on your thoughts, you'll see how many thoughts you have. Sounds crazy. But anyway, that's what it's like for me. It's like I said, it's not bad thoughts. It's just random thoughts. And then, of course, we have the enemy of our soul who's lying to us all the time. So I am trusting God for this message today. I'm trusting that He will lead us into a deeper understanding of the significance of being still and knowing, and I mean really, really knowing, that He is God. And I know that sounds simple. You know, it sounds so simple. It's just like, oh, well, you know, we'll just be still and then we get to know God. You know, we'll be still and we'll know God. But you know what? Being still is one of the most challenging things that we can do. We have our minds bombarded daily with everything that comes at us from the world. Plus, we have all those 50,000 thoughts a day that we have to sort through. And then, of course, the enemy's lying to us all the time. And then, on top of all of that, we have life to live. And hey, guys, life is just busy, right? I mean, seriously, I don't know of anybody whose lives are just not busy these days. And yet, in the midst of all that craziness and all that noise and all that busyness, we hear God's voice saying, be still. It's like, what? Be still? You know, how can I be still with all this coming at me? He goes, no. Be still. And know that I am God. And I know, you know, I don't know how that speaks to you all, but I was thinking the other day as I was preparing this, it's just, I was just sitting there and I was being still, you know, just trying to get my mind focused on God and you know, being like Hezekiah when he turned his face to the wall, you know, it means he turned his back to everything else. And I felt like I turned my face to God that day and then, you know, my back was turned to everything else and I was having a great time. But, you know, it speaks to me of like God giving me an engraved invitation. You know, when He says, be still and know that I am God. It's like receiving an invitation from Him engraved in gold. And that invitation is saying, you know, just come to me. Come sit at my feet. Away from all the craziness. Away from all the busyness and the difficulties and the distractions of life. And away from all those things that are so, so disquieting to my soul. And learn of me. What a wonderful place to be. And when He says, learn of me, you know what? It's not talking about some lofty intellectual idea of Him or even having a knowledge of Him. But it's Him. Know Him. Don't know the idea of Him. Know Him. It's taking the time to be still and know Him. To learn of Him, His nature and His character. And you know, when my kids were growing up, I told them, I think it was Heather one time, you know, she said, you know, there were things that she, you know, she was young. She said she didn't know how to work the Bible. She didn't know how to find things necessarily. And she said to me, she says, Mommy, I can't, you know, I don't know where to find this. And I says, well, if there's ever anything that you need to know about the Lord, I said, and you can't, you know, just spot on find it in the Word of God and you don't have, you know, just don't know exactly where the Scripture is. I says, I want you to do one thing. I just want you to go back to what you do know about the character of God and the nature of God. Because you see, the character is that He is a good Father. We sing that song here a lot, and I don't think I've ever come in here and had that song going when it just didn't bless me, especially during the time that Bill was so sick. And we didn't get to come to church very often then, but when I did, I tell you, I told Rhonda, I thanked her one day because she was singing it. And I said, I messaged her and I said, I just want to thank you because of listening to the Spirit of God, because every time I would walk in, it seems like that would be the song that everybody would be ministering to people. And of course, I knew that, you know, God was doing it just for me. And he was doing it for y'all too. But that song just ministered to my heart, because that is the character of God. He is a good, good Father. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our redeemer. He is our help in time of need. He is our strength. He is our healer. He is our peace. And I could go on and on and on about what God is for us. And his nature, well, God's nature, we know what God's nature is, don't we? His nature is love. That's God. You know, what's the first thing you think of when you think of God? You know, it's that relating thing, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to throw out a word, and you pop the first thing out of your mind, what it is, and hopefully the first thing that we would say would be love. Because everything that God is, and all of who he is, and all of what he does, falls under the umbrella of those two things. First of all, that he is love, and that he is a good, good Father. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, I like that, behold, there's emotion in that. It's like, stop looking at everything else and look, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And I especially like that in the Amplified version, because it amplifies. So see, it says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And I'm a teacher, so I like words. So I looked up the word incredible, and it says extraordinary. It says beyond belief. It says more than thought possible. And my favorite, astonishingly great. And that's the quality of the love that the Father has bestowed on us. Hallelujah. Does that bless you all like it blesses me? So as we look back at Psalms 46:10, we understand that there is a reason why God connected those two thoughts. You know, there's two thoughts in that scripture. It's like, be still and know. And we know that he connected those for a reason. It's because that if we are to know his nature, and if we are to know his character, and if we are to know him in the way that he desires for us to know him, and believe me, he wants you to know him. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, wants little old you to know him. And as I said, not know about him, not get some lofty intellectual thing about who God is. You know, he wants you to know him. But if we are to know him in the way that he desires for us to know him, it's going to require something of us. Amen. It's going to require us, one of the things, there's probably many things, but one of the things is, it's going to require us getting still before him. And it may require, and I feel comfortable sharing this. Ordinarily it would be like I'm stomping on people's toes, but I feel comfortable because Glenn shared it last week. So if my pastor shared it, I was too. Okay, so anyway, I forgot where I was at. Okay, it's going to require maybe some of us getting rid of some of the activities, some of the stuff that Glenn talked about last week in order to spend time with God. You know, we've got so many activities. We've got so much entertainment. We've got so much this and so much that. And maybe it's going to require us sort of setting some of that aside in order to be able to spend time with God. And have you ever noticed that the more stuff we have, the more crowded out God becomes? Ouch. I know, baby, that hurt. But it's true. The more stuff we allow into our lives, the more stuff that takes up our time, that's the less time that we have spending time with God. Amen. It's quiet in here. Everybody's going, oh, my feet, ooh, ow. You know, I picked mine up too, trust me. But we're talking about being still before the Lord. And you know, we all know what that means in the natural sense. You know, for example, you know, you better be still or I'm going to come back there. We've all heard that when we've said that one. Or can't you just be still for 5 minutes? I can't tell you the number of times I said to that to our daughter Heather when she was little because she talked all the time. So you just be going, oh, just for 5 minutes. Will you just be still for 5 minutes? So in the natural realm, we all know what it means to be still. And most of us have the ability to keep our mouth shut. But how much harder is it to shut down our minds and just enter into that place of calm and peace with the Lord? And yesterday as I was studying, I was basically going through my notes and kind of tweaking some stuff and praying and listening to God. And I came to that thing where it says that we need to just enter into a place of calm and peace with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart just like that. And he said, it's a place of revelation. I never thought about it like that. That when we find, when we get still before the Lord, when we go into his presence and we get still before the Lord and you know, push everything else is pushed out, all the craziness and the busyness and all those things that disquiet us. And we sit there, that's when God is able to reveal himself to us. It's a place of revelation when we get before the Lord. I thought of when, you know, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter's answer was, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, you did not receive that by man, but you received that by the Spirit of God. And that's what it is. It was revelation knowledge. He did not receive that from anybody other than by the Spirit of God. And that's what God is saying. He said, I want you to come into that place of calm. I want you to come into that place of still and into that place of quiet and into that place of revelation so that I can speak to you, so I can lead you, I can guide you, I can show you, my purpose for you. And where I want you and what I want you to be doing. It's a place of revelation. I love that. But in the word, or in the biblical sense, the word still speaks of so much more than just being able to, you know, zip it. And it speaks of an inward stillness. It speaks of a stillness of mind. It speaks of a stillness of spirit. And that is a stillness that only comes from being in the presence of God. The Hebrew definition, I thought this was interesting. I really like this. The Hebrew definition of the word still means to stop striving, to let go, to surrender. And I thought, you know, we just need to stop striving with God, don't we? And we need to let go of some of these things that are holding us back from God. And many years ago, oh gosh, it's been many, many, many years ago, the Lord had me in a study of the blood covenant. And if you've ever studied the blood covenant, I mean, you'll just have the socks blessed right off of you. But he had me in that study for months and months and months at a time. And that's what I would do every day. Every day I would get up. My kids were still in school. They were not big. They were in school. And I would get up and I'd see my kids off to school. I'd hurry up and get everything done around the house. And then, man, and I didn't have a computer. I didn't have all these fancy things. And so it was books on the table, tablet and pen. That's what it was. And today, it's like, I don't know what I do without all this stuff I've got today. But I tell you, those were some of the best times I ever spent in my life. They were quiet times. They were turning my, you know, putting my face to the wall, putting my face to God, and turning my back to everything else. And I would sit there at that table, and I would sob before the Lord because of the astonishing things that he showed me out of the covenant of God. Just unbelievable stuff. It's a treasure trove. He, you know, it's like I walked into this treasure trove of amazing truths in the Word of God. And one of those amazing truths was that as sons and daughters of God, we have been entered into an agreement or contract. You know, the Old Testament word is covenant. You know, we've been entered into that covenant with the Most High through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? We didn't do anything to earn or to deserve what God has done for us in that covenant. But because we received Jesus into our hearts, and because we received the sacrifice of Him going to that cross and shedding His blood for us, because we ask Him to come into our hearts and to be our Lord and to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins, then we were automatically entered into that covenant that God and Jesus cut. And the glorious, wonderful thing is that we get the blessings and we get the benefits of that covenant. And we didn't do a thing. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We just found Jesus. We found Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. Part of that covenant states that whatever each of the covenant parties has now belongs to the other. That's one of the articles of the covenant. Is that I'll use Sandra for example, because Sandra and I have been good friends for almost 40 years. And so, you know, when I enter into covenant because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and she enters into covenant because of her relationship with Jesus Christ, and neither one of us deserve it, neither one of us did anything, but we're both in covenant now with Jesus Christ and God Almighty. But that also means that we're in covenant with one another. So anything that Sandra has, I can ask for it. And you know what? This lady would give it to you. I mean, I can't think of anything. John and Sandra have this ministry that is just amazing and has amazed me forever. They were like a newly married couple when I met them. They hadn't been married a long time at all. And I remember going to the Bible studies, and the heart of these people was to reach out and to help other people way back then. I mean, it wasn't like they have grown into it. They're and still growing. It's a process. But the thing is that it was there from the beginning because it's their gifting, one of their giftings that God gifted them with, that they just love on people. They really love on people. But as covenant parties, you know, I could ask Sandra for something, or Sandra could ask me for something, and I could give it to her. That's because we're covenant partners, covenant parties. So having said that, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God, our covenant Father, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Now, did you catch that? Did you catch that? That's covenant talk. That's covenant talk. Because he says, your need, His riches. I'll put it better this way. Your need, and I'll put in the middle, is taken care of by His riches and glory. Hallelujah. So what does that mean to me? It means that out of my need, I surrender my weakness to God, and out of His riches, He gives me His strength. And out of my need, I surrender my fear to God, and out of His riches, He gives me His courage and His faith. And out of my need, I surrender my inability to God. And out of His riches, He gives me His ability and so on. And as worthless as it is, God will receive whatever we give Him. And He will, in exchange, give us provision from His riches in glory. From that big storehouse in the sky. You know, He'll open the doors and He'll find the right provision for us for the need that we have. Hallelujah. I think we got a good deal. You know, I've always said that every time I look at this and I look at the blood covenant and all this, I always think that God got the short end of the stick. You know, when I look at us as people, you know, and how we can mess up all the time and fall down and do stupid stuff and all that, then I just think God got the short end of the stick. But He doesn't think that. He didn't think that. He wouldn't think that it was the short end of the stick if He was going to send His Son to die the death that He died. So He didn't get the short end of the stick, even though I may think that He did. In my case anyway, maybe not yours, but But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what has this got to do with Psalm 46:10? It's because out of my need to know him more, I can surrender this troubled, wayward, broken, fearful mind. And he will give me out of his riches and glory, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, power and love and a sound mind. I didn't do it this time, but one other time I was teaching on having a sound mind. And I can remember a time when I didn't. This is why that ministers to me. In fact, that is the first scripture I ever memorized, because I had so much fear in my life before I came to God and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I had so much fear in my life. So when I came to know the Lord and I began studying in the Bible, it's like, have you ever, and I know you all have done this, the Lord has spoken to you through scripture, and you're reading in the Word of God, and then all of a sudden it's like a particular set of scriptures just go, poof. Have you all ever had that happen? Where it's like God is speaking that to you in such a way that it's almost like they're just magnified or they're illuminated or something. And that's what happened to me. That's the first scripture I ever, ever learned, because I found out that I had a spirit of fear, but he didn't give it to me. He gave me power, he gave me love, and he gave me a sound mind. And that sound mind means that it's fit, it's healthy, it's good. So that's the minds that we have that God has given us. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I think, you know, that perfect peace, isn't that what we all want? You know, not the peace that the world offers, but peace that God offers, perfect peace. That's what we all want. And I think it would be an awesome thing, you know, if got my tongue tied there. The awesome thing is that we get to know him, because we have found that secret place in the Most High. It is that place of perfect peace. When we go into that place and just turn our back to the world, turn our back to everything else, and enter into that stillness and that quietness and enter into that place of revelation with God, that is the place of perfect peace. It's a place of calmness and stillness before the Lord, and it's away from the pressures, away from the influences of the world, where we are free to hear his voice. Oftentimes, you know, I mean, with all the craziness that goes on around us sometimes, you know, it's a miracle we can hear his voice at all. You know, that's just, we sang about God's grace this morning. You know, that's God's grace that allows us to even be able to do anything, to hear his voice in times when things are really tough. And you got to be careful not to hear the wrong voice, by the way, when things are really tough and you're struggling to hear the voice of God. Just get into that place of calm. Get into that place of peace and that place of revelation, and let him reveal who he really is. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him in that way that Peter knew him. Not some intellectual thing, not knowing about him or having an idea of him, but it's knowing him in the way that Peter knew him, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is my Lord, and he is my Savior, as he is yours. Praise God. So I just, you know, I love spending that time with him. I love getting into the presence of God, being able to turn my back on everything else, and just absolutely settle down, settle my mind down, and let him minister to me. I love it when he begins to speak into my heart, and he speaks to me, telling me how much he loves me, and he heals me, and he guides me. And he's beckoning all of us to come to him. Every day, the Spirit of God is beckoning us to come to him. And the problem is that oftentimes we're too busy to hear him. We don't take the time to set aside those activities. We don't take the time to just say, yeah, I hear you, God. And I want time with you today. I want you to talk to me today. I need you to talk to me today. In the last year and a half, I can't tell you how many times I just said, God, I need you. I need to hear your voice. And God spoke to me. He would speak to me. And he would touch me. And he would love me. And he would put his arms around Bill and I and let us know it's okay. Praise God. Well, would the worship team come up, please? That song, Everlasting, really touched my heart this morning. And if there's anybody here that does not know this wonderful Savior that I've talked about today, you say, oh, I've known of him. I've had people tell me about him. I know of God. You know, I know of Jesus. I've heard that he's all these things, but I don't know that I know him. I don't know that I have this kind of relationship with him that this woman's talking about. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you feel that, man, this is what you want. You want an intimate, personal relationship with him, and that you just can't go another day without God speaking to you, without getting to know him more, without getting to know him better, then please just feel free to come forward. We'll pray with you. And you know, I would never want anyone to come in here that way and leave the same way. You know, when you walk through those doors, God begins to minister. In fact, he's ministered to you before that, because you wouldn't be here if God hadn't ministered to you, if he hadn't drawn you to be where you're at. So if you have need to be prayed of, either for salvation today and just ask Jesus to come into your heart, then we'll pray with you. And if you have other needs, you know, we'll pray with you for those needs as well. So as the worship team leads us in worship, let's just still ourselves. Just still yourself. Still your mind. You got to shut your eyes. Sometimes I can't still myself unless I shut my eyes, because I'm easily distracted, you know. So I have to shut my eyes and just still myself before the Lord. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind. Still